Turn to Book of Genesis, chapter 2, Book of Genesis, chapter 2. Notice verse 7, verse 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15 through verse 17. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Chapter 3, begin reading with verse 6, down through verse 9. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?'" In Genesis chapter 1, there is a general account of creation. In verses 26 and 27 of Genesis 1, we have a general account of God creating man and woman. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over flesh and sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And it is stated in verse 28, "And God blessed them." Also in verse 28, God gave them a charge: "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the flesh, the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So he gave man a charge. He gave him a responsibility. He gave him a position. In verses 29 and 30, God privileges him with a wonderful life. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." So God privileges them with a wonderful life, a wonderful position. And in our text verses, there's a more detailed account of these things. We read in verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden." And there, in the God-planted garden, he put the man, Adam, whom he had formed. In verse 15, it is stated that Adam had a responsibility where God placed him. "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So man has a job to do. He has a position and he has a job to do. Verses 16 and 17, God issues a command revealing that man was to live within the bounds of God. So man has a position, man has a job to do, and man is to live within the bounds of God. In other words, man's position is under God's authority. There's also a warning concerning the transgression and violation of God's bounds. Chapter 3, verse 6, we read concerning Eve that she did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In other words, God's boundaries were crossed. God's boundaries have been violated. So we have Adam and Eve, blessed of God with everything that heart could desire. One restriction put upon them. And what do? They defy the very one who so blessed them. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3, we see the result of such. Their eyes were opened. They knew that they were naked. Innocence was gone. And they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. There was shame. There was guilt. And in their attempt to remedy this shame and guilt, they took the very blessings of God and misused them. They sold fig leaves. Where did they get those fig leaves? From a fig tree. One of the trees that God had blessed them so richly with. So they take the very blessings of God and misuse them. Man has been doing the same ever since. Verse 8, Adam and Eve further misused the very things in which God blessed them. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Where did they hide? Amongst the trees. The thing that God blessed them with. Amongst the trees of the garden. Man has been doing so ever since, trying to hide themselves amongst the blessings of God. So there's Adam and there's Eve, hiding, fleeing from God, trying to conceal themselves from God, trying to avoid God. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to avoid God. And then we come to verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. They're trying to avoid God. Hiding from God. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And it's from this ninth verse that we want to take the thought of the message. In particular, that question, Where art thou? But notice verse 9, And the Lord God called. Skip a few words. Where art thou? And that's our subject. The Lord God called. Where art thou? The first thing I want to notice is a forgotten principle amongst God's people that is seen in these verses. In chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, God brought Adam and Eve together in matrimony. They were husband and wife. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Husband and wife brought together by God, made one in marriage. Again, read chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman, that's Eve, the wife, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she, Eve, the wife, took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And then we know she gave to her husband, and he also did eat. She first partook of the forbidden tree. And it was she that gave that forbidden fruit to Adam. It was she. But notice verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Not Eve. She first partook of the fruit. She gave unto Adam. But the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? Now, in the light of the fact that God is omnipresent, always present everywhere, God's question to Adam fundamentally is not a question about location, but I believe it's a location of position. Adam, where are you? Again, God gave Adam a position. Adam, where are you? Now, it can be viewed as a question of position with regard to Eve, their husband and wife. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? Now, it would have been grammatically correct, and the Lord God called to Adam and said, where art thou? That would have been grammatically correct. But it's added, and said unto him. Why add that phrase? To strongly emphasize that God is speaking to Adam. When he said, where art thou? He's not talking to Eve. He's talking to Adam. Let's make clear, there's three, you have the noun Adam, him, and then thou. All referring to Adam. Where art thou? Why him and not her? Adam, where art thou? Why didn't he say Eve? Where art thou? Why him and not them? Why didn't he say? They both sinned. So why didn't he say, where are you two? Well, that's not what he said. And it's made very clear here in verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? The thou is referring to him and Adam. God is speaking to Adam. Again, this is a forgotten truth. It is declared in 1 Timothy 2:13. For Adam was first formed. The Genesis account bears that out. Then Eve. Two important words. First and then. First and then. Now, if I say first and then, that of course is indicative of order and priority. First and then. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And again, that's clearly stated in the Genesis account. So you have Adam and Eve, husband and wife. They have both violated and crossed the set bounds of God. But God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? God called unto Adam. He did not say, Adam and Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? He's talking about a position. God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? I believe God is addressing Adam as the husband. And he is saying, Adam, I hold you responsible. I hold you responsible. The man is responsible. He's responsible. This is a forgotten truth. The man is responsible for his home. The man is responsible for his marriage. The man is responsible. Adam, where art thou? Again, it's clearly stated in Genesis 3:6. She took of the fruit thereof. That's very clear. And did eat. And gave also to her husband. So notice concerning Eve, she took of the forbidden fruit. She ate the forbidden fruit. She gave the forbidden fruit to her husband. Eve is a guilty party. No question. And in 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So one could argue it's Eve's fault. It's Eve's fault. I mean, one could make that argument. But God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam, I'm holding you responsible. This is a forgotten truth. Again, Eve first took of the forbidden fruit. Eve did eat, and Eve gave to her husband. But God called Adam to give account. Where art thou? This is a forgotten truth. You see, the husband may argue in protest, it's not my fault. But God first says to the husband, before he says anything to the wife, Where art thou? Where art thou? The husband cries, It's not my fault. It's her fault. But God says to the husband, Where art thou? It is a question of position. with regard to Eve. We read in Ephesians 5:23. And husbands like to quote this verse. The husband is the head of the wife. That's God's order. It's not about fault. Well, it's her fault. It's not about fault. That's not the issue. It's about order. It's about a position. And this is a forgotten truth. The husband, again, may protest, it's not my fault. It's her fault. And God says, oh, you poor thing. It's okay. No, God says to the husband, where art thou? Where art thou? Husbands need to own that. They need to be men. And they need to own that. We read in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. It's not my fault, it's her fault. Husbands, love your wives. It's not my fault, it's not my fault. It's not about fault. It's about position. Husbands, love your wives. Even if it's not your fault, love your wives. God is saying, I'm holding you responsible for fixing it. Adam, where art thou? Well, God, she did it. It's her fault. And God is saying, Adam, I'm holding you responsible for fixing it. That is a forgotten truth today. One that people need to get a hold of. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. There are no stipulations. Husbands, love your wives. But. There are no buts. There are no stipulations. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Well, she did. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. There are no exemption clauses. All men have been putting in exemption clauses since it was written. But there are no exemption clauses put in by God. This is a forgotten truth. And God says to the husband with regard to his position with his wife, where art thou? You say, well, Brother Dan, you mean to tell me that Eve is not accountable? That's not what I said. That's not what I said. Man is responsible as the husband. And man will be held accountable. And man is responsible for fixing it. The husband says, it's her fault, she has to fix it. That's not God's order. God's order is the husband's the head. You fix it. You fix it. I'm holding you responsible to fix it. Now, this truth may upset some folks, but that's because you've been ingrained with the world's way, if it upsets you. The husband is accountable. God addressed Eve after he first addressed Adam. Eve was the first to transgress, but God addressed Adam first. He got around to addressing Eve because each one must give account of their own lives. In verse 13, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is this? Now, man's order would be this. Since she first sinned, God should speak to her first. But that's not the order of husband and wife. That's not the God-established order. The woman's not the head. The man's the head. So yes, she first sinned. But God first addressed the man. And then he addressed Eve. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? He's holding her accountable. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She immediately cast blame upon the devil. What's she saying? Lord, it's not my fault. Folks, the issue is not about fault. That's not the issue. She sinned. She sinned. And it wasn't the devil's fault. She addresses her again. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Verse 17, he again addressed Adam. So he starts with Adam. He then moves on to Eve, and then he gets back to Adam again. He gets back on Adam again. And unto Adam, verse 17, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. What's he rebuking Adam for? Again, Eve did give to her husband, and he did eat. And God rebukes Adam for listening to his wife, but that's not just a general statement. Don't take that and say, well, I'm not supposed to listen to my wife. But what he did was he listened to his wife over God. God says, thou shalt not eat. Eve says, here, honey, eat. And Adam said, okay, darling, and took it and ate. He put her word over God's word. God held him accountable. God held him accountable. Again, the husband is accountable for his wife. Well, that's not fair. That's her life. You're one. You're one. The man is accountable. Doesn't mean she isn't. Doesn't mean she's not without fault. She first sinned, but the first question was, not Eve, where art thou, but Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? If there is a marital problem, I believe this, I believe Scripture backs it up. If there is a marital problem, God first asks the husband, where art thou? Where art thou? Well, she, regardless of what the wife did, regardless of people foolishly aligning themselves with a side, it's not about a side. It's about a position. God comes to the man. God comes to the husband. And he says, where art thou? And for a man who says, well, that's not fair, don't get married. Stay single. Because that's God's order. That's God's order. Always remember that. That'll help you from doing something foolish. God comes to the man. The husband, where art thou? And though the husband may convince himself, and sadly others as well, that he bears no fault, there isn't a husband and wife alive that can come to me and say it's his fault, it's her fault. No, both are at fault. There's plenty of blame to go around. I guarantee it. I have yet to know of an innocent party. You perhaps may know one. It's probably a relative. But I'm here to tell you there is no innocent party. But that's not even the issue. The issue is God comes to the man. Where art thou? I can't tell you how many times I've been accused through the years in marriage counseling. Well, you take the woman's side. I first address the man's responsibility. If that's taking her side, so be it. It's not. The man has a responsibility. Where art thou? This is a forgotten truth today. Where art thou? You know, many saved husbands are quick to declare headship, but they don't want the accountability of headship. I'm the head of my wife! Then you have an accountability concerning her. I'm the head of my family. What I say goes. Well, first of all, that's the wrong attitude toward headship. Here's the right attitude toward headship. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. It's centered in love. I'm the head of my family. I speak. They do. Yes, you are the head of your family. And when your family's dysfunctional, I hope you hear God say, your name, where art thou? Because that's how it works. Well, they have some account of it. Yeah, we're not denying that. That's not the issue here. The issue is an issue of position, of headship. Don't be so quick to declare headship if you don't want the responsibility that goes with it. Along that line, this is only the first part of the message. I'm obviously not going to, this is as far as we'll go. Along that line, wives, why? Why would you want to be the head of your husband? The head gives account. Why would you want that? Why would you want that? If you're reasonably thinking, you don't want that. It belongs to the man. He will give account. He will give account. And I still believe that God, to this day, when there's a marital problem, when there's a family problem, God first comes to the man and says, where art thou? You'll never convince me otherwise. You'll never use Scripture and convince me otherwise. That's God's order. It's been that way since Adam and Eve. God isn't going to change it now because it's your son or your daughter or whoever, grandson or granddaughter, that doesn't matter. That's God's order. Adam, where art thou? And I pray that we can see or we can hear when God calls us and says, where art thou? That we would not respond the same way that Adam responded. He said, the woman that thou gavest me. It's her fault. The woman that thou gavest me. She gave me. That's true. Is Adam lying here? Read verse 11. Or I'm sorry, verse 12. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. Is that a lie? No, it's the truth. She gave it to me. And he goes on to say, and I did eat. But it didn't matter. The issue isn't about fault. I am sick and tired of people getting on whose fault it is. That's not the issue. It's an issue of position. Position to one another, husband and wife, a position, more importantly, to God. Well, that's her fault. He was done wrong. She was done wrong. Get some spirituality and follow God's order. Follow God's order. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it. Adam, where art thou? This is a forgotten truth. Again, this was just the first point and the shortest point. This is something we need to remember in our own marriages. Husbands, be a man and come to grips with the fact that you have an accountability to God for your wife, for your children that are growing up in your home. You have an accountability. You will give an account. And if there's a problem, God is going to first. I don't buy this nonsense that's going on today, and people have the audacity to even put it out there in public forum, and they're basically announcing, I am unspiritual. The wife prays, and she discerns the Lord's will. It don't work that way. The husband is the head, and God comes first to the husband. That's how it works. I'm talking about two saved individuals. This is God's order. This is a reminder of a forgotten truth. Men need to come to grips with, I'm accountable. I'm accountable. Say, your wife is a gossip. I believe God will come to the husband and say, where are you? You need to get your life. You need to. You're responsible. I'm not saying she's not. But you have a responsibility. Your wife doesn't dress right. You have a responsibility as a husband. And God's going to come first to the husband. I'll even take it further. A wife sleeps with another man. And I believe God still comes to Adam and says, Adam, where are you? Well, that's not fair. Well, you take that up with God. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying she doesn't have any accountability. I'm not saying she's innocent. I'm not saying that at all. But you cannot deny Eve first sinned and God came to Adam first. And I believe that's the pattern. I believe that's the pattern. Again, God help us. I'm thankful that God gives us reminders of forgotten truths. Of forgotten truths. God help us, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll just, wasn't our plan, but Lord willing, we'll just continue with our other points this evening. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse of song.